Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I tried to do my best, say, at the beginning to address the Guardians going to game three of a wild card. The excitement from today's game, we're going to do a whole lot of it more right now as we head out to the fan hotline. Covers the Guardians for Locked On Guardians. Good friend of ours, Justin Latta, joins us now. Justin, what's going on?
Just trying to recover from that game and get ready for another one tomorrow. I'm not sure anybody's ready for it, but we'll do the best we can.
Yeah, does this feel like... almost a, is it an advantage, you think, for a team like the Guardians, or a disadvantage to have almost the no time to think about it, back-to-back-to-back days? You just have baseball, and you got to go out there and do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the run they were on in September, I mean, to be clear, there's no correlation between September records or performance and carrying over to October. But I think as well as this team was playing in September and how they had to get into the playoffs, I think not having a break and just going into three straight days or two is good for them. The only question now is how your bullpen is going to be deployed in game three. That's the only tough question to answer, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we can obviously talk about that a little bit. Cade Smith today, did you agree with the decision to send him back out in the ninth?
So I think what happened is that they got those runs so quickly and made it a five-run game way before they, could get fessed up. And I don't blame Vogt, because I don't think you expect Cade Smith to lose his command like that so quickly. And they just didn't have fessed up quick enough in time. So I think ideally you would have had him out there, but I also don't think you were planning on having that happen. And Festa was just, there was nobody up, and he was pretty much the only guy that you would have been able to go to in that spot anyway.
So Cade Smith has thrown almost 50 pitches across the last 2 days. Situation arises tomorrow. You're in a close game late. Do you still turn the page and go to Cade once again, or is this one where you have to give him a day of rest and make it work outside of it?
No, I don't think there'll be any chance to give him a rest. If they need him, I think he'll be in. He'll want to be available, and it's going to depend on the situation. But, tomorrow is win or go home again. So there's a day off on Thursday no matter what, whether win or lose. So I should say Friday. There's a day off Friday, win or lose. So I think everyone's available. I think the situation with him is just a little bit limited. I think, maybe you're going to ask him to throw 10, 15 pitches max, and that might be pushing it. But I think he'll be available depending on the situation.
Justin, obviously today, as you mentioned in the beginning, a little bit of a whirlwind of an eighth inning brings the excitement back. We see the offense show sparks of life. Does that shift the momentum in this? Or do you believe in momentum for the Guardians heading into game three?
Yeah, I don't think you can believe in any momentum, because, I mean, the old adage, what is momentum, is the next day's starting pitcher. You would have thought after the win on Tuesday that the Tigers had all the momentum, and clearly that didn't carry over. I think the hope for the Guardians is that now that they've gotten some big hits, I mean, those were the biggest hits in the series, right? I know Javi Baez hit the RBI single in that one inning, and obviously the momentum of that third out at third base, I think, was real, because that can stay over the course of the game. But I think the hope is that the Guardians feel a little bit more relaxed, a little less pressure. I mean, as little pressure as you can feel in a do-or-die game on Thursday. But now that you've gotten some big hits the way you did at the end of game two, I think your hope that keeps guys a little bit looser and confident going into game three.
Well, you say momentum's only as good as your starting pitcher the next day. Who do you think has the advantage going into tomorrow? Is it Jack Flaherty and the Tigers, or do you have more faith in Slade Ciccone for the Guardians?
I will give the edge to the Tigers just because Jack Flaherty's been there before and Slade Ciccone has not. Even though Jack Flaherty's had an up and down season and the Guardians have seen enough of him. But the Tigers are going to have a little bit more of a rested bullpen because obviously on Tuesday, Tarek Skubal carried the load and they didn't have to go to anybody but Will Vest, and he didn't pitch here in game two. So they're going to have a little bit of an easier time with the bullpen if they have to pull Jack Flaherty early, whereas it's going to be tough to pull Slade Ciccone early if things go wrong. You'll have Joey Cantillo behind him, but that's, doesn't feel as good as where the Tigers are at. So I think when you talk about pitching and just experience and the health overall rest of the bullpen, I think they're set up a little bit better on that end of things. But I think if the Guardians want to win on in game three, I think the offense is going to have to come through.
Justin Lotta, Locked On Guardians, with us here on the Fan Hotline. We talk so much at the end of the season as a fan base, just about feels like you're in the Tigers' head, feels like, coming back from 15 and a half down to chase them, 10 and a half down in the beginning of September, to be able to chase them down. It felt like the Guardians had a mental advantage. Do you think that mental advantage after today still exists?
I mean, maybe. I think the Guardians are just confident right now because they've seen what they're capable of. I mean, Bo Naylor said it after the game today that the clubhouse believes in themselves and they know they have the tools available to get things done, and they're capable of those kind of innings and those kind of runs. I think the hard part for, I said before that, September doesn't usually carry over, have a whole lot of correlation to October, but the reason the Tigers are in the spot they're in is everybody but Tarek Skubal was not good in the month of September on their pitching staff, and they didn't hit. And, now they've got, three runs in two games against the Guardians. And one of those, you could argue that all those runs on Tuesday were gift runs by the defense. And there just hasn't been a lot of runs overall. I think both teams right now feel like they probably could have swept the series had they had things gone a little bit differently for them. So I think the Guardians will be confident that they could have won on Tuesday, but the Tigers are also confident that they also could have won on Wednesday.
Justin, I feel like this answer became very clear after the eighth inning today, at least to me. Would you side with the Guardians' offense and rather having them for this and the playoffs beyond than you would for the Tigers right now?
Say that again?
Would you rather have this offense for the Guardians than the Tigers for game three and beyond in the playoffs?
Hard to say. I mean, the Tigers have not hit, but they do have the pieces. I mean, you've got Kerry Carpenter and Riley Green, and they hit lefties better than they hit righties normally just because of the platoon guys they have. So I think you still take the Tigers offense overall, but yeah, the last 2 months, it just hasn't been there. I think the Guardians are capable of putting enough runs together. The Tigers just, I can't figure out what's going on with them, honestly. Like Riley Green just has fallen off, and Kerry Carpenter's got a couple hits off the Guardians, but they've managed him well overall. It's just a very weird situation for them. I guess maybe you can call it even, but I don't know. The Tigers still have a couple more guys in the lineup you feel more confident about up and down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Speaking of the lineup, and some of the guys said, I don't know if I say stepped up today, but we talked about it yesterday, obviously, when we were just shooting texts back and forth. Chase DeLauter made his debut today for the Guardians in an elimination game, put together a couple of good at-bats. How would you evaluate the way you thought he played today?
After the drop ball in center field, things only could go up from there, right? So they did go up, which is nice. I mean, the most impactful play he made in this game was that throw to third base. I can't stress enough. Like, this is a guy who, you know, hasn't played since July 11th in an actual game that counts. And this season, the Guardians have not been putting him in center field. He's mostly been playing right field. So for him to come up and make his debut in an elimination game and then play center field, a position he has played in the past but hasn't, you know, been playing it recently, to make a split second decision and throw the ball to third right there when, you know, a lot of guys might have thrown home to try to cut off a run or something. He threw to third, and that obviously that decision had a big momentum shift for them because the guy was out of third and they challenged it. Like, all those things had to come together. But his at-bats were fantastic, too. He had the walk, hit the ball hard twice. Never looked like he was overmatched up there. He went up there and didn't look like he was making his major league debut at all. The swing decisions were really good. He, you know, hit the ball hard. I think overall, outside of the drop fly ball in center field, I think you wouldn't have assumed it was his debut.
Were you surprised to see the call get overturned at third? I mean, I thought there was evidence there to say that he was probably out, but I don't know that I would have called it, you know, inconclusive.
Yeah, that was a close one. I mean, I think the thing you saw on replay was that the McKinstry's helmet moved, right? So I think him sliding into third base, you could tell that his hand wasn't on the base from a couple of angles, and he slid into Jose's glove, and that forced his helmet to move. So I think that got him on the shoulder, the side of the head. You know, if everybody else sounded like it was the right call, that they overturned it. I definitely thought it was going to be close, and I didn't think there was going to be enough evidence to do it. The thing I was most surprised about was the fact that the run didn't count. The fact that out worked out for them, that, you know, Dylan Dingler didn't score before the out at third base. That was the huge momentum swing right there.
If you're the Guardians, are you starting Chase Lauder tomorrow?
Yeah, I would roll 100% the same lineup. I mean, I would even consider putting Lauder in the two hole in front of Jose Ramirez. I mean, see what kind of he's. George Valera doesn't really chase a ton either. He has a little more swing and miss in his game. But I think you saw Chase Lauder. Like, he does not go out of the zone for the most part. I thought he was going to be hitting second in this game, and I wouldn't be against flipping Valera and DeLauder in the lineup. But other than that, I would run up the same exact lineup on game three.
Again, Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians, with us here on the Fan Hotline. Somebody else I think is obviously worth noting, obviously for this game, but just based on playoff performance from last year, it was Brian Rocchio. You see him hitting low in the lineup today. How impactful is he? Is the bottom part of the lineup the right spot for him to be the sort of flip it over to the top lineup guy again? And how much of an impact does he hold for the Guardians in the game coming up and if they're able to advance?
I mean, he should have a lot of confidence right now, honestly, and that's kind of the big thing with hitting is confidence. Like, when you're confident, you're going to hit better overall. I think you're going to have a better plan at the plate, and you're not going to get overwhelmed. And he had the big home run on Sunday that won him the game, obviously, and that was no easy pitch. He turned around to hit the home run off of Melon. That was a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and it was definitely in a good spot for him. It was middle in, but it's a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and Melton's got great extension. That's been a great pitch for him this year. So that was not like a gopher ball that he got there. He turned around a very good pitch. So I think he would have a lot of confidence turning things around into the top of the lineup for sure. And it's very helpful. You know, it took until the eighth inning for Stephen Kwan to come around too. He's been kind of going through it right now. So if Kwan continues to struggle, you want that nine spot in your lineup to do something. So when your two and three guys come up, possibly you have somebody on base, and that's really important for Jose Ramirez, obviously, because you can tell that he continues to get pitched around. So somebody, whether it's Rocchio or Kwan, somebody that 9-1 swing around, somebody has to get on base and do something. So he has a chance to make a real impact if he can stay confident in what he's been doing lately.
Justin, I feel like, obviously, you look up and down this roster, a bunch of guys that are both young and inexperienced when it comes to postseason baseball. We talk so much in baseball how much, you know, experience matters, having been there matters. It feels like for the Guardians, they almost try to play off the advantage of the guys don't even know the moment that they're in. Is there a spin to this that you feel like is a positive to have this young of a roster with, sure, you have guys like Hedges who have been there, but for the most part, these guys are just going up there and trying to play?
Well, I mean, you do have a good mix, right? I mean, Jose Ramirez, we heard on the broadcast, he came up to everybody there going into that inning and you know, gave everybody a high five when they got out of a couple of jams and so they were going to do it. He called the home run by Rocchio somehow. And Tanner Bivey had the big moment in this game where Tanner Bivey, after he struck out the side and picked up his defense in the first inning, went up to Chase Lauder in the dugout and, you know, told him, hey, you're fine. It's good. It's all good. Don't worry about it. So you do have a mix of guys who, even if they've only got 1 year of experience, they've been here before. I mean, Gavin Williams, you know, pitched one poor game in 2024 in the playoffs, but he got that out of the way. You do have Hedges. You know, you do have Bo Naylor and Kwan who've been around. So I think you've got a pretty decent mix. Cade Smith, even though he, you know, things kind of went iffy for him there, he still has plenty of experience and a guy whose heartbeat seems to never go up. So I think you have the right mix of guys who are making their debut. It is crazy that you have a Valera and a DeLauder and a Kafis all in this playoff lineup with very little experience or none in DeLauder's case. But I think they have a nice mix right now.
So they go in tomorrow. Where does your confidence level stand that the Guardians in Game 3 can pull out a win in advance of the DS?
I think there's no momentum game to game. I think they got to get early runs. I think if this team can hit the ball early, if they use the eighth inning as a springboard and realize they can relax up there and get some runs on the board early, I think you feel pretty good about that. The interesting part is going to be the pitching. Like I said, Detroit's also probably got the pitching advantage. I think your script tomorrow is Slade Ciccone as long as he can go. You probably go over to somebody like Colby Allard if it's middle of an inning, and then you go to Joey Cantillo. So, you know, you do have guys that can give you length out of the bullpen, which is nice. But I mean, as long as they use that eighth inning offense as a springboard and know they've hit well off Jack Flaherty in the past, I think you could feel pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't put it better than a 60-40 just because they have home field advantage and a little bit of confidence from the offense. But it's a game three, do or die, and anything can happen.
Is there a single guy that you point to outside of the pitching, but in the lineup that you point to as an X factor for this team, or does it just have to be somebody?
I mean, Stephen Kwan and Kyle Manzardo, like, they're going to pitch around Jose. I don't know how much you can really realistically expect, you know, George Valera and Chase DeLauder and CJ Kafis to carry you. So the guys that you're not going to pinch hit for that are in the lineup that have the most experience, the most impact for you are Kwan and Manzardo. Kwan did finally have a hit in the eighth inning. Manzardo, you know, he just missed a home run in this game. The win, I think, knocked that down. So I think you need something from Manzardo because you've got to make them fear walking Jose. So you've got to have somebody behind him that's threatening and can do something. And Kwan's got to get on base in front of that group too, because if you have runners on base in front of Jose, you know, they're less likely to put him on. He's more likely to do something. So between Kwan and Manzardo, those are the two guys. I think this team's got to hit the ball and do it with a little more offense in game three if they're going to win because of where their pitching is at. And I think it's those two that have to step up into that role.
All right, Justin, I'm going to go too far as I throw you one last question in here. If you're able to get the win tomorrow, if you're able to advance, as you look around the American League, is there a single team that scares you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The Mariners are a pretty balanced team. I mean, they have a great starting rotation. They've got a pretty nice lineup. The bullpen's pretty solid. And the Blue Jays got a good pitching rotation as well. And they've got a pretty balanced offense. They're a little bit banged up and their bullpen's not as great. So I think for me, the team that they'd be going to see on Saturday if they win is the Mariners, which would be tough because, at best case scenario, let's say they win this game early because of offense, you're throwing Joey Cantillo in game one in Seattle and they're throwing out, you know, Logan Gilbert. That's a little bit of a mismatch. You don't have your rotation lined up to start that series. So, yeah, the Mariners definitely are a big threat for the next round.
All right, well, hopefully we can at least see that threat. Hopefully we get a win tomorrow. Justin, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for good vibes, but I appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, at least if they play Saturday against the Mariners, it won't be at 1 o'clock because it'll be a West Coast game.
That's a plus. Enough of the 1 o'clocks. I have enough of seeing Progressive Field half empty for a playoff game.
Absolutely.
All right, Justin, thank you for setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you.
Always, man. See you.
Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians, with us there on the Fan Hotline.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.